Welcome to 2008 from your Laughing Place podcast crew. That would be me, Doobie, and the three lovely gentlemen gathered here with me.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Back up. The two lovely gentlemen gathered here with me and the one lovely young lady, my wife, Rebecca. Sorry, New Year's Eve was late. We went long on New Year's Eve. I haven't quite recovered yet.
I understand.
Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm doing fine now that you figured out that I'm a girl.
Fanboy?
I'm cold.
It is cold.
And Captain John.
Very cold.
I need rum to warm me up from this weather.
We are broadcasting live to MP3 from beautiful and frigid Orlando, Florida. What was it, like 30 degrees today?
Yeah.
I don't mean Celsius.
And you mean Calvin. I was watching the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade, and they said that it's always a good time to go on Splash Mountain at Walt Disney World, except it's not. It'd be cold. Luckily for you, the nice folks at Walt Disney World took it under refurbishment, so you can't ride it until the middle of February.
Do they really do that just for our protection?
Yeah, it's a guest service.
That's nice. Yeah. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Or post a message on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Let the LP crew know what's on your mind.
You can post on any discussion boards, but it's probably more productive to post on the Laughing Place discussion board.
That gives us the best chance of seeing it.
I saw someone post on the ABC.com discussion boards, but...
Well, they do say to start there.
Yeah.
Let's see, just before we left, but after we recorded the podcast, we had the opportunity to see a fabulous movie that we're going to talk about first today.
Yay!
What was that movie?
National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
It's not really National Treasure 2, is it?
No.
There's no 2 in there at all.
No, because it's actually just the first movie, just redone. That's a good thing.
Was the original title, though, National Treasure 2 Electric Boogaloo?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. As all twos are. That's all. Anytime they make a 2, that's the working title. Like Superman 2, Electric Boogaloo. Notes on a Scandal 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah.
I think even Godfather 2.
Yeah. Electric. Rambo 2. Electric Boogaloo, First Blood.
Let me ask you a question. Do you even know what the real Electric Boogaloo movie is?
Yeah, Dirty Dancing.
You don't, do you? That's sad. You're not it.
What was it?
Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, fine.
Remember Breakdancing?
No.
Anyway, National Treasure 2. Captain, did you get to see it?
Oh, yeah.
What was your opinion?
As a fanboy said, it's pretty much like the first movie redone, except that in a good way.
Not that the first one was bad.
Not that the first one was bad.
No.
It was great.
Just more of the same.
More of the same.
And that was a good thing.
But you got a Goofy short.
Did you like it as much as the first?
Yeah. I think the ending was a little bit more. They went more Indiana Jones with the ending than they did the first time around. Like the first National Treasure, I had like the cave and everything under the church, but it didn't quite. Well, there was a lot more focus on the end of this movie where there were. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, Austria, if you haven't seen this yet, we're going to do our best to keep it.
Do they care about it in Austria? Does this film do well internationally?
Yeah, it's called Foreign Treasure out there.
Okay.
It does okay. You like it, fanboy?
I loved it. It was the best movie of, best movie since Enchanted, at least. I can't, it's having a hard time ranking it with Enchanted. I really liked Enchanted, but maybe right underneath Enchanted.
Really? You liked it that much?
Yeah.
Even more than I Am Legend?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So
not as good as Transformers, though.
Well, you can't really rate it because you missed the best part of the film.
I know.
Taking a phone call.
And that's your father's fault.
Well, okay. Yeah, but, you know, it's important.
I will see it again just for that scene, too.
I'm sure you will.
Can you give a general description of where this was?
Yeah, the car chase.
And apparently there was a good line in there, something along the lines of, I'll drive.
Yeah.
That everyone seems to remember.
Yeah.
And I was getting juju beans. So I'd like to rectify that.
You were getting a pretzel.
I was answering the phone because your dad called a bunch of times and it was important.
Yes.
I was using the restroom.
And since that was important to see next to you.
And since I was in the lobby anyway, I decided to take the opportunity to get a pretzel, which earlier weren't ready yet.
Yeah, they weren't ready. That was weird. How can you go to a movie theater and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, we haven't prepared those
yet.
So
I guess technically it's their fault that I missed this scene, and they should let me in for free to see it.
Hey, there you go. You should have argued that when the film was over.
The one thing that this movie didn't have that the first one did is when the first movie jumped the shark and jumped back.
You guys were embarrassing in the theater at that moment. I remember that from the first film.
It was a classic, maybe the ultimate moment in film.
Yes.
The greatest cinematic moment in history
So are you saying that it jumped the shark in the second one and didn't jump back? Or
It never jumped.
No.
In the first one, what happened? They were walking out of a building or something, and the Nicolas Cage and the woman kissed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, this movie just jumped the shark. We said it to each other. We made the international symbol of shark jumping. The kind of Y equals negative X with your right hand. And negative X squared.
Yes, it's okay. A negative parabola, not an inverse
line. And giggled like schoolgirls.
And then the funny guy,
the evil henchman, kind of goes, "Why does that never happen to me?" And we both looked at each other and said, "It jumped back." And many shows jump the shark, and many movies jump the shark. None ever jump back.
National Treasure too. National Treasure.
Yeah.
The scene with them balancing on the thingy.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was so cool.
On the large table stone.
That was cool. And it was funny. And it had Britain in it.
Mm-hmm.
Was the queen in it?
No.
She played Nicolas Cage's mother.
Okay. I knew she was in it.
Oh, dude, you guys are just out of control.
It was good.
I enjoyed the helicopter scene in Paris.
Did I see that one?
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
He was operating a remote control helicopter.
Right. Oh, that was funny.
And then with the police officers. That was like my favorite portion of the film.
And I saw more of Buckingham Palace's restrooms than I ever thought I would.
They're nice.
Yeah. Better than the White House's. When I was trying to steal something from the White House and was stuck in the restroom as my mobile command center, it was kind of stinky.
Did you see the National Treasure / Adventures by Disney promotion on the Christmas Parade, Captain?
No.
They had Justin Bartha, who plays the...
Riley.
Yeah, Riley. He was talking about Adventures by Disney. They had him touring around London, and he kept chiming in with, "And here's where we filmed," and he would talk about some scene they filmed, "And here's where we filmed," and then the Adventures by Disney guy would be like, "Oh, and you can do all kinds of cool things," like, and then they'll tell you about behind the scenes of what they would take you to do if you were, you know,
see
on
London,
the
see France, see Nicolas Cage's underpants.
So, yeah, so it's kind of a fun... I thought it was a funny blend of Disney promotions. National Treasure 2 and Adventures by Disney.
Yeah, you've given me a very bad image.
You noticed that they didn't host that segment at the exhibit.
At Epcot that has nothing to do with the movie.
Right.
See, it's nice to see educational films, too. You know, they make it fun, but you still learn something.
There's a lot going on in the education arena.
Do you know that President Lincoln was shot?
Really? Wow.
At Forge Theater, which I wonder if GM complained.
Did you like it as much as the first one, Fanboy?
Probably not, because the first one, you didn't know what to expect. It was unique, but it's as good as it could be as the sequel. It definitely doesn't pale in comparison to the original.
You agree with that, R?
I liked it. I thought the treasure that they were looking for in the first film was more interesting than the treasure they were looking in the second film, so therefore I enjoyed the first one more, but... I thought it did a really good job of being a sequel.
I agree. The first one was it was the first one, so it really kind of stood out. But
yes, indeed.
If you can somehow compare just the movies, aside from the originality of it, I think it's pretty much on par with the first one.
I enjoyed the involvement of John Voight. He wasn't as involved in the first film. And it was nice. I liked the John Voight, Helen Mirren storyline. It was fun.
The Queen?
What about How to Set Up Your Home Theater?
You know what was nice about John Voight being in the movie is he had a reason to be at the premiere.
Oh, don't pick on John Voight.
Yeah, he tips well.
Yeah, don't pick on John Voight. But Fanboy asked a good question. What do you think of the Goofy short?
It was goofy. It was funny.
You laughed a lot.
It was good. It was.
You don't normally laugh at animated shorts.
No, especially not classic ones. Which
Can we go to shorts again?
But it was really cool. There was a really funny scene in it, which I didn't catch, but you've acquainted me with it, involving the pictures being knocked off the mantle.
Yeah.
You didn't notice?
You didn't notice
that was Walt Disney?
I noticed it was Walt Disney. I didn't notice the other.
Oh, you didn't notice Lasseter?
No.
Oh.
That was funny. I mean, now that you mention it, it's funny. I can see where some might not find it so funny, but I choose to find it funny.
Would you like to explain?
A mantle with Walt Disney and John Lasseter. Some may, and clearly John Lasseter would have been with Disney at the time this was made.
Oh, gotcha.
Some may feel that's a bit presumptuous, so
gotcha.
Mr. Lasseter.
Well, but he didn't draw it himself.
No, I presume. I don't know. He can draw.
Well, good point. But I mean,
you know what I thought was interesting is how it started exactly the same as all those other Goofy cartoons with that, you know, red background mm-hmm. and the goofy face. And the except instead of saying, like, in Technicolor, it had DTS and THX and all that stuff on the bottom. Like, it was like, it's just another – there just happened to be a big gap between goofy shorts.
What did you think of the Captain? I know you're a big fan of classic shorts.
Oh, I love classic shorts, and it's nice to see Haynes? Goofy come back. What? Nice segue there. And everybody was goofy in the short. It's not like it was goofy with other people. It's like really back to their roots there. Yeah. And the, shiny stuff. I want to go to a store called Shiny Stuff.
They even got some classic goofy football in there, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So here's a question. When you saw it, was it like a really packed theater?
Yeah. Because I mean, it wasn't. I mean, we weren't moving to the center of our row.
It wasn't like game plan crowded, but it was pretty crowded.
No, because when I went, it was jam packed full. They actually oversold the show and stuff. It was crazy. So it was nice to see National Treasure and the Goofy shorts. It was actually getting quite a good reaction.
Although we do have a bias in that we go see all our movies at Downtown Disney Pleasure Island, where probably about 80% of the people there work for the Walt Disney Company or affiliated companies. And it's a different atmosphere there than it probably is anywhere else in the world, except maybe Downtown Disney, California.
True, but, you know, you have more out-of-towners here than in Downtown Disney, California, by a long shot.
Right. Well, yes, I have more people in the theater, generally speaking, than Downtown Disney, California. What do you think of the new WALL-E trailer?
WALL-E. It is so cool.
Wasn't the food just... No, wait. Wrong movie.
Wasn't the trash just so trashy?
That was... The movie looks very enticing.
like a rose growing off in the garden.
You can't help but feel sorry for this poor little
like
guy.
Like a heart yeah. cup
it's
of
so
cocoa.
Sad.
And the music they use in the trailer, which I presume is not the music from the movie, it just fits it so well. It's awesome. I know Rebecca's a big fan of WALL-E right now. What do you think of the new trailer?
I loved the new trailer. It was great to see it on the big screen because I've seen it so many times on the little computer screen. So it was awesome to see it all big and blown up. And then I heard from our friend Lee, who's visiting from England. He read in a report there that Fred Willard is going to be in the film playing himself, right? Yeah. Isn't that what he said?
No, he's playing the head of the By and Large Corporation.
Oh, but he's playing a human.
Yes.
Which, based on all the stuff I'd seen before, was like, oh, there's people in the... You know, it's kind of like Bambi. You know, I kind of got the impression it's going to be like Bambi. There was, like, you know, maybe a man footstep
no,
kind
of
thing.
No, there's live action
so, yeah,
stuff
so,
in it.
So it's cool.
Is this Fred Willard that we saw in the Macy's Parade, the weathercaster?
No, that's Willard Scott.
No, Fred Willard was in...
Ben?
He's in like every sitcom ever made. He's in that Back to You as a sportscaster. He
yep.
plays Raymond's sister-in-law's father in
Everybody Loves Raymond.
He was in A Minute with Stan Hooper.
Oh, see, I know him from the Disney Channel film Lots of Luck.
He was in that as well. That probably just seals your knowledge of who he is.
I think he was in Roseanne.
He was in every
possibly.
Sitcom.
If Martin Mull was in it, then I guarantee you Fred Willard showed up at some point.
Actually, I think they played a couple.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Squiggy was in it. He's always with Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley, too.
Oh, okay.
He's in those, I think he's in those, like, 7-Up commercials, too, with Kathy Griffin. Never mind. He's everywhere.
And I guess Fanboy has his own, you know, shrine dedicated.
I know. He's one of those guys that you see in, like, every sitcom. Like
whatever it is,
like that guy
Fanboy thinks he sees becomes Fred Willard.
How many licks does it take to get to the chocolatey center of a Fred Willard?
The world may never know. Okay, fine.
Oh, dude, you guys are disturbed.
Let's move on to our next topic today, which is very, very, very exciting news. My lovely and talented wife Rebecca and me went to California. For the Christmas break.
Oh, that was awesome.
Hiatus.
It was cold.
It was cold, but other than that, it was cool.
Thanks for bringing it back.
Really cool.
It wasn't cold, but it was cool. But I'm bummed.
We hadn't been there in quite a while. We hadn't spent multiple days there in like a year and a half.
Longer than that, yeah.
So, what were your highlights, hon?
Highlights? Ooh, that's hard to pick.
Well, before they get to highlights, let's get to the crux of the matter.
Okay.
The Finding Nemo submarine voyage.
Oh, why do you make me talk about it?
Do you want me to talk about it?
No, I'll talk about it. I was actually, you know, it was okay. For me, the subs were a somewhat claustrophobic ride. I'm a bit of a claustrophobic, and so going underneath the waterfall, there was that part with the ruins and everything. It was very open and expansive, and so. But now they've kind of brought the walls in, so it made a somewhat claustrophobic ride for me, just a little bit more claustrophobic. So I can't. I think that takes away from my overall enjoyment of the ride. But I thought it was nice. I thought it was it's nice to see the attraction back and running again. I know it's a fan favorite to, you know, kind of go in the subs and go underwater and all that. And that was cool. And I thought the use of the technology was cool with the EAC. I thought that was impressive. But overall, I liked better the way it was put together here at Epcot. And I don't know if it was just because I'd seen that before. So that's kind of what it's kind of the experience I had. And that was just so, wow, that's so cool, you know, when I first saw that. So, but I liked it. It wasn't bad. It was just, it was kind of like, oh, well, it's so similar to here. And I don't know that it was necessarily better there. So, and I expected it to be better there because there was more water involved. That makes sense.
Remind me quickly, what was your opinion, Fanboy of the Subs?
It was an okay ride, but not amazing. Just a good ride.
Captain?
I thought it was pretty good. It's just that I wouldn't necessarily rate it over what was there before.
The empty lagoon?
No, I mean, when the submarine ride was running.
Oh, okay.
Just because there's a lot more less real things to look at.
Dimensional sets as opposed to film sets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hype about this new attraction. People seem, from what I could read, to be quite excited about it. And I think a lot of that comes just from the fact that the subs had opened again. And I can understand that excitement, especially, you know, after, you know, that Imagineer had to lie on harbor for all those years and all that. But, so I can understand that excitement. But just judging the ride on its own, aside from the thrill of being in the subs again, I'd say it was my biggest disappointment since the first time I rode Imagination here at Epcot.
Wow. I didn't know you were that bummed by it.
Yeah, I was that bummed by it. It's not horrible, but it's just no big deal.
So we waited probably 30, 40 minutes for it, right?
We waited about 45 minutes in about negative 32 degrees.
Well, okay, but just 45 minutes, just
yeah.
Your wait.
Yeah.
Would you do it again? If you wouldn't be like, oh, let me go back in that line and wait for it.
I would sooner wait 20 minutes for Peter Pan or, you know, something than I would wait another 20 minutes for subs. It truly was just no big deal.
20 minutes even.
I mean, I would wait 20 minutes for it, but, you know, if I've got 20 minutes, I would choose another ride before I choose many other rides before I choose that one.
Because I would wait again for that.
Really?
I enjoyed it enough that I could see waiting in line again for it. The thing about subs that I kind of missed is that the old sub ride was kind of a little dangerous and, like, exploration. There was kind of this hint of, I don't know, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, kind of thing. And this one doesn't have that in it. It's more a playful adventure than it is kind of an exploration. And so I kind of miss the explorer sub element of it. I mean, and that's just part of the thing of, you know, you've been there before and you come to it with certain expectations. So, I mean, I'm sure that other people, you know, they won't come to it with that.
What was our role in this attraction? Are we just going on a sub ride and we're watching this stuff? Or
you're going with the Nautical Exploration Marine Observation Team down to explore the
Barrier Reef.
So you sort of follow Nemo, I guess.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, Rebecca. The adventure of the old attraction really added something to it, as opposed to just being in a different kind of a ride vehicle like any other dark ride.
But that's a very personal thing, because in many ways it's what kind of sparked me to study oceanography in junior high, high school, and that kind of thing. So I mean, I can specifically point to the fact that it was that attraction that kind of got me. Kind of kicked off on studying that. So,
but see, do you know what Epcot has that Disneyland doesn't have?
Fish.
And they can't have. Yeah, fish.
Kuka.
Like the ending of the Epcot attraction is very different because you've got the characters like being, you know, in with the real fish.
Right.
And this, you're just sort of watching plasma screens underwater. So it's not even like the same kind of effect. They're not interacting with the environment at all.
Right.
And so even then, the eye candy is not as
interesting funny,
as
though,
it could.
It's for me, the effects on the sub ride were more convincing than they were on Nemo here at Epcot. I mean, I'm stupid. I don't understand effects at all. But when I was looking out at the sub ride, everything was just so big that I really couldn't tell that I'm just looking at a screen. Whereas in Epcot, you know, you can see the props, and then there's the screen built into the prop. It's much more evident to me that I'm looking at a screen.
Well,
and despite that, I still really enjoy it here more.
I'm not referring to the first.
Right, I know.
I'm only referring to specifically the ending portion of Epcot. Yeah.
Well, I think it's hard, though, because we're comparing an attraction to an attraction we first rode as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So do we know what the opinion of kids is going to be when they go on it? When I was first a child, I went on it, and I thought I was actually submerging. Obviously, I don't think that now. We've all been along in the creative process. We know how it works and so on and so forth. So are we – well, I'm not saying this attraction is great by any means. Are we so nostalgic with the original?
I don't think I am, because I was never a big fan of the original. I wasn't the least bit sad to see it go, and never rode it since I was a kid and don't have any great fond memories. I'm really more comparing it to the Epcot attraction.
And for me, I know the nostalgia plays a heavy. That's why I'm hesitant to truly grade it, because I know the nostalgia plays a heavy, heavy part in my perception of the attraction.
I just always found an underwater attraction was just so cool just as it was. So, it'll always be a good attraction to me just because of the pure, unique factor of it.
Right. And part of me is glad it's not amazing, because with the crappy capacity it has, it's good that it's
No, that's a good point. And it's not bad. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. I do feel bad criticizing it as I do, because it's not a bad attraction. The only reason I'm disappointed is because of all the hype it had. If I just came on, here's the sub ride, the sea ticket I grew up on, I'd go, hey, that's pretty cool. That's still a pretty decent sub ride. Just compared to all the hype and everything, it was quite disappointing.
Oh, well, you shouldn't listen to all the hype.
I know. I'm trying to stop reading the internet so much, but...
Yeah, you really should.
It gets in the way of work.
Oh, good point. Yeah. That's a bummer.
So, any other highlights?
Yeah.
Like Christmas parade.
The spear.
On this very special night, I wish I might have the wish I wish tonight.
All right.
The Christmas parade was awesome.
As always. I love that parade.
Except...
The gingerbread men.
They were bad.
They've changed the look of the gingerbread man at Disneyland. We don't know when, because we haven't seen it in it could be years ago.
I think they were changed by the time I even moved out here. So,
but it was sad to us. We miss the...
Well, they're the same here, though.
Yeah, they haven't changed here. And then the deer are there.
No, the ones they have there are not the ones they have here.
Right.
No, but they're the same. Right. We have the classic
ones. Look here.
Right. They have the new look.
They have the new look.
And any day now, they're going back to the classic look and writing it off.
Oh, no. I think they're popular.
Like New Coke.
Exactly.
But I think they fit better with what gingerbread men look like nowadays, with Hershey Kiss buttons and whatnot.
Or is it more like Crystal Pepsi?
Oh, dear. But I'm trying to think what else was different. I love the little snowmen. They're so cute. But the reindeer... I'm still sad that they changed the reindeer there from the classic round-nosed ones that we have to ones that look more like real deer that are kind of like Bambi.
That seems like it'd be kind of creepy to see a real deer standing up like that.
I have a question. I was watching the Christmas parade.
Yeah.
And, they're very careful not to have the same characters appear at Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Right.
Except reindeer.
Yep.
Are those reindeer?
Do they fly?
Are they supposed to be Dasher, Dancer, Prancer?
I haven't seen Christmas Fantasy in a while, but at the Once Upon a Christmas Time at Christmas Time... Upon a Christmas parade, they have name tags that say Prancer, Dancer, Donner.
They hired reindeer to play the part.
Yeah, it's not like a Disney character. We know that's not Santa.
It's Santa's helpers.
It must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa Claus.
Must be Santa's helper.
And the reindeer ranch, was it called the reindeer ranch?
Santa's Reindeer Roundup.
That was fun.
That was cool.
To see all the reindeer. It was funny because we went the day after Christmas, and all the reindeer were like laying down.
They were tired.
They looked so tired. It was very funny.
Oh, they had all that work.
Well, yeah, it made sense, but it was just funny to go there and just see the reindeer laying down.
You know, our friends at Circle D put something in their food.
No, they didn't need to because they were tired from having... done all their work the night before.
That's it.
Breaking news. Got to ride Space Mountain? It's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Breaking news, like you're watching an all-news network at 2 a.m. on tape delay.
All right, so it's been around for a few years, but it was our first time.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
I told them. I said, you must do Space Mountain when you go out there.
Not only...
It's awesome.
Is it not new? It's already changed and changed back.
Did I mention how cool it was?
We loved it. I loved the soundtrack. The effects And I didn't even, I mean, it'd been so long since I'd read the reports of the change, because the change happened so long ago, that I'd forgotten everything. So it's like I got on the ride vehicle, didn't even really think about it. Then we made that right turn, and boom, wow, it's different.
All of a sudden, we were at Universal Studios.
That was so cool, that tunnel. It was awesome.
What?
With the tunnel?
The tunnel, the rotating tunnel thing. Yeah. It felt like the ice.
It's like Dante's Peak.
No.
No.
$6 million man.
Ice tunnel.
Or the
mummy's
later.
You're so 80s and 90s.
It was too much
fun. My favorite part was it was at the end when you pull back into the station and the Cylon attacked.
Okay. Enough Universal Studios references.
Okay, let's see. Here's a bit of trivia that Michael Giacchino did the music for that.
Yeah.
Or however he pronounced his name.
And you can tell.
And he also did the music for the Goofy short.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Interesting.
And we come back. I hear you also did the music for the Hanes commercials.
And The Incredibles.
And Lost.
And Muppet Wizard of Oz.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
And Stuart Little. And Unbreakable. And The Sixth Sense.
No, now you've moved on to something else. Now you've moved on.
What else was cool? Pirate's Lair.
That was fun.
That was really cool. We explored every inch of that place.
I jumped.
My head personally
explored. Did you reach for the treasure?
Yeah, and it scared me, and I jumped.
Yeah. She actually did jump, and she had seen it operate with the people before us.
Yep. I knew it was going to startle me, and yet I still jumped. And then Doobie smacked his head probably 5 or 6 times.
Oh, at least.
Wandering through the caves.
Ouch.
Good thing those caves are soft. Not.
It was funny. I could hear. I knew exactly where Doobie was, because I could hear thud, ow. Thud, ow.
Did the pontoon bridge, did the suspension bridge.
Still there.
Did you find Captain Jack? Was he there?
No, he wasn't there when we were wandering around. It was too bad.
He was there during the show.
Water.
Oh, so you saw the show?
Yeah, the show was cool. Is it true that it's closing January 6th? Anybody know?
We'd heard that rumor, huh?
I got an email. Someone said it's closing January 6th.
Oh, I hope not, because that was fun.
It was a cool show.
And it was nice because there were a lot of people standing on the Rivers of America over by...
getting wet.
No, over by New Orleans Square. Watching the show. You could see it from there very well. So that worked out nice because we were watching it on the island. They were watching it over there. It gave you something to do.
Until the Mark Twain came and got in their way. Oh, but then those people got a view of it for
a while. That's true.
Mark 1.
Ocean D.
It was so crowded. I forgot.
Mark Twain.
I'd kind of forgotten just how crowded Disneyland can get.
It's not crowded. It's popular.
And small.
But you know what I remembered is that we started doing the same thing we used to do when we'd go to the theme park. You get there when it opens or a little bit before open, and then you do what you want to do until about 11, and then at 11 you disappear. Either you go either you go to Downtown Disney and enjoy a nice leisurely lunch there, or you find some nice quiet place to just sit and talk.
DCA.
Or you prepare for a long wait in a line somewhere, and then then you just kind of kill time for a while, and then the crowds begin to die down again after fireworks, which is like 9:30, and then you can see a bunch of stuff again, and so it's cool. Like we waited for a parade, we had a late lunch, and then waited for a parade, and then stood in line for something, chatting with friends. You realize that your most productive hours are not going to be between 11 and 7.
Oh, thank heaven.
So, you mentioned DCA. We were waiting on New Year's Eve. We waited at the Cove Bar.
And that was fun.
Ate a lot, but we did not take up
and
space.
And drank a lot.
And
the
weirdest
people
thing.
With us drank a lot.
Saw the weirdest thing. I don't remember what time it was. Maybe 8 o'clock or so. And this glowing parade started going down the corridor. You've seen it.
It's so tiny.
Didn't that go away about...
Yeah. Well, I remember last time I saw it was in Missouri when it was...
traveling by the arch.
Traveling across the country.
Wow, it's weird to see that parade. I mean, I heard it still ran, but to actually see it in person, 11 years, 12 years later?
And that park makes it look so small.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it's so small, it's almost like the Pinocchio part's not there.
Oh, very funny.
Or the Seven Dwarfs Mine.
No, very funny.
California Screamin'. I don't know if you guys have heard of that one. Really cool coaster.
Yeah, but... Ditch. Never mind. Just continue. I'm shamed.
You went on it, right?
I went on that. Well, on New Year's Eve. And after getting off, I'm like, okay, it's not the best Disney coaster, but it's the most fun. The ride itself, forgetting all the theming and stuff, just the ride, I think it's the best Disney coaster.
And what was the most amazing thing that we saw?
Okay, you talk about hype with the subs and how that was a little disappointment. Mm-hmm. There's this little display in the back lot.
The Toy Story Zoetrope.
So much hype, and I'm like, it's a stupid display. What is the big deal?
Yep.
That Zoetrope may be the coolest thing
ever. Did you see that when you were out there, Captain?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, how cool is that thing?
I think that's going to turn Hong Kong Disneyland around.
I think it might. Do you see the Snow White exhibit while you're there, by chance?
Yeah, we did.
For those of you who haven't seen it, go look online. There, I think Laughing Place has video somewhere.
Yeah, their video doesn't really do it justice.
It's all over YouTube, but it's just
doing zoetropes on film just doesn't work.
No, but what it is it's what is it about 5 feet across?
Yeah, I'd say that.
It's about it's a circle of about 5 feet across.
A radius of about 2.5.
With various Toy Story characters. And the table moves with these Toy Story figurines on it. And so you're pretty much just looking at dozens of spinning figurines. But then these strobe lights start. And when the strobe lights start, with the motion of the table and the way the characters differ just slightly in position from each other, and the strobe light added in, it actually looks like these figures come to life. Their little alien looks like he's waving at you. Woody looks like he's riding on, is he on Bullseye or is Jesse on Bullseye?
Woody's on Bullseye.
It looks like the army men are jumping off the top and with parachutes. I mean, it's a really amazing the way it makes these toys. They make toys come to life without computer animation. It's amazing.
And as you're standing around the 5 pi circumference, you can see it doesn't matter where you stand, and people just kind of start looking because the lights go down and it starts the strobe light. It's really amazing.
And I'm really glad when we showed up, it was just sitting there still and fully lit. And it was like that for a good 5 minutes, and I was really glad. And I'm like, what is the big deal? I'm sure it's pretty cool when it moves, but...
Well, and then it started spinning, and it's just blurred toys.
Right,
because
the lights
around
are fully up, and
you're
like,
okay,
overrated.
Well, whatever. And then the strobe starts, and everybody just, oh, it's amazing.
It's like magic.
I think I sat there for 15, 20 minutes watching that thing just spin around.
Is magic.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm convinced when the strobes start, they replace it with something completely different.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that thing we saw when we showed up turned into that thing.
It really is incredible.
You know, it's funny because they actually have a big cauldron that comes up that disguises the change.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so disturbing.
Speaking of which, we did get to see Fantasmic.
Yes, we did. Lucky. And the guest standing on the rivers of America got wet.
We got wet.
By the way, how long... Why have they never changed that away from guests standing on the Rivers of America?
Was it ever standing at the Rivers of America?
I don't remember ever standing at the Rivers of America. I always remember sitting.
I think just because Jack Wagner's dead and...
Can't you say seated at the Rivers of America? I understand.
It could be like guest standing.
Like on the Orlando tram.
So we got to see that and got wet on a freezing day.
It was like 34 degrees outside with wind.
Blowing towards you,
and
probably.
And it was blowing towards us, and so we ended up getting very wet. And in fact, the finale didn't have its full complement of fireworks because of the winds. And the whole reason we saw Fantasmic was because we had done the Fantasmic dash. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Captain, but this is when you exit Haunted Mansion as you see the Mark Twain making its way for the Fantasmic finale, and you realize you have mere moments to escape from New Orleans Square. If you have any hope of getting out of there, you must be at least to Adventureland, like over by a little bit past the treehouse by the time Fantasmic ends, or you are stuck with the masses.
Yes.
So that is what happened to us.
And we dashed. We got one, please stop running. But, you know, we ignored him because we're good annual pass holders.
And we... I wasn't running.
Nor are we annual pass holders.
No, very true. And we got to the Adventureland entrance just in time to hear, due to the high winds, we're sorry, but this evening's performance of Holiday Magic has been canceled.
So we dashed back.
Actually, what we did was we sat in the chairs over there by Plaza Pavilion and waited for the Fantasmic crowd to disperse. And as it thinned, we returned and rode Big Thunder Mountain and then went and waited half an hour for a Fantasmic.
I can't tell you how many times I went on Haunted Mansion just to wait for the Fantasmic crowd to clear. Because it's the 10:30 show, and you would start to walk towards Haunted Mansion. You'd get in that first stretch room. Before, you know, as the show was ending, go on it, you'd ride, you know, go through the stretch room, hallway, go on the attraction, come out, and New Orleans Square was a ghost town. You would see the little techies taking down the lights.
Awesome.
Ghost town, huh?
Awesome.
After Haunted Mansion, yeah. So you saw Haunted Mansion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did
that
Haunted
Mansion
holiday. It was cool.
That was fun.
We had a long wait for it, too, and it was still good.
Yeah, but we appreciated the wait because it was so cold. So to be in that area where there's the tombs and there's wall-to-wall people kind of keeping each other warm,
that
worked out well.
Although the hot and cold running chills didn't help all that much.
No. What else did we... Oh, we had breakfast at the newly remodeled Riverbell Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they finally finished it when you
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's more open.
Did you have Aunt Jemima there?
I didn't notice any Aunt Jemimas. They,
No, there's only one. That's why they're very careful when they do the Christmas parade. Not to have Aunt Jemima.
Actually, there's Aunt Jemima's helpers.
Because during the Christmas parade, don't they, in the Riverbell at Walt Disney World, don't they put Mrs. Butterworth over there?
Yeah, they do. You know, what's funny now is I hear Aunt Jemima can talk.
Oh, stop.
And blink.
Stop. You people are just disturbed.
What else are we going to do? Indiana Jones.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was pretty fun.
Well, yeah, because you didn't have to wait in line.
Yeah, we did.
No, we
didn't. Oh, we fast passed it.
Yeah, we did.
So you got to... What is the fast pass for? Like, do you still go through, like, the actual line? Or?
Yeah, that was actually kind quickly. Of heartbreaking yeah. because go, they, like...
They hold you at the movie because of the lawyers.
That's okay, but it's just, seriously, from the time you enter until the movie portion, there's no wait. There's, like, yeah, nothing.
The merge point is outside the temple.
Right.
And so there's,
so there's
all
this empty space,
queue.
And so they have to shove everybody up in the Jungle Cruise
and
queue and all sorts of places.
Back in 1994, people waited 2 hours just to go through that queue.
Yeah, and so it's funny. And there's all this carving there that, you know, nobody ever sees anymore because the way the Fast Pass works and everything. Well,
and the pole was gone.
The pole was gone?
Yep, the pole was gone.
That time of the year. Were the lights on?
No.
Maybe they used it for, like, they took it out for their Festivus exhibit.
It's funny the things that we notice. I mean, other people aren't going to notice that, but we noticed. We noticed that we had to, I felt like I was obliged to walk very quickly through the caves, which for me is okay because I always found that ride a little claustrophobic and ended up with sweaty palms by the time I got to the load area because it was kind of closed in. So I didn't mind having to walk past through there. The other thing, that Life magazine with Mickey and Minnie on it?
Yeah, where was it?
There was paperwork on top of it, so you could see that there was a magazine underneath, but you couldn't see Mickey and Minnie
That's
anymore.
Funny.
So we were kind of like, oh.
Someone just left, like, the opening checklist for the attraction
up
there.
Yeah, I don't know what was up there. It was like, oh, bummer. So. The little things that we noticed that nobody else would.
The Eeyore sign?
We ate at Carnation Cafe.
Yummy.
That was awesome.
Yummy, 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 yummy. Was Oscar there?
No, he wasn't. We didn't see him.
Was his day off or just like he's not there?
Don't know.
We heard he retired.
He still has his item on the menu.
Oh, that's good.
But we heard he retired, but I don't know.
We got to ride the whole Fantasyland.
So did Charles Boyer, but what does that mean?
True.
All five Fantasyland rides the last hour and a half one day. That was fun.
Yeah. Oh, and I wonder if that sewer smell over by the castle was sewer smell or was it sulfur from the fireworks? That was the debate of the evening.
Speaking of the castle.
It smelled kind of like eggs.
We need to remember to come back to the castle, but before we do.
Okay.
We rode Alice in Wonderland on a very cold night. So you know what we were thinking.
Yep.
Thank God for hell.
We were trying to find out exactly where it was. Like, yeah, this must be it.
Yep. Oh, that moment when you pass over hell. Oh, so wonderful.
It's better than passing through.
Yep, true. Which we did moments later.
Yes.
And it wasn't very warm.
Then you go back outside again, and then you're like, oh, no.
Take me back to hell. Yeah, when we rode Mr. Toad, it actually wasn't that warm. I figure heat rises, and it was taking care of Alice.
Oh, true. Peter Pan is so much better there than here.
Dude, it's not even funny.
I didn't expect that.
It is, actually.
I didn't expect that. I'd forgotten.
We had just ridden it here, and we're like, this is bad. Is our memory of Disneyland?
No, you were like, this is bad. I was like, this isn't as good as our
Royal
memory.
We.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm with DB. It's bad.
Yeah, Fanboy was there. This
okay,
is
fine.
Bad.
So
yeah.
You and Fanboy.
And we're like, is this just our memory of Disneyland is bad, or is it really that big a difference? And yeah, it's that big a difference.
So what is different?
There's no stairs in the Disneyland version.
That's true, which surprised me, because given the safety standards of the state of California, I kind of expected them to have the more blatant escape routes.
Yeah. Neverland is not a big room in Disneyland either. I mean, it's a room where you see Neverland, but now, Florida, you sort of fly through it.
Exactly,
oddly.
And that's what I realized. I like the fact that it's this island and it's kind of far away, as opposed to here where you're kind of like zooming through Neverland. As opposed to above Neverland. So I like that. And do they have the little twinkle, like, there in California? I felt like there were all these little twinkle lights everywhere. Like, there wasn't really ground. Do they have that here? And I just didn't.
No, they don't have, because that was added in 83.
Okay, that's what
and
I thought.
And the one here was based off the original 55.
Right.
Because all that fiber optics wasn't around.
Yeah, instead we have paint flex on the wall.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And bicycle
chains. That just adds so much.
So this is just the difference between the original Peter Pan and the far superior 1983 Tony Baxter Peter Pan.
That's my understanding.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey, Tony. I like the way you do.
And I missed Peter Pan.
He's great.
I mean, I missed Pinocchio.
Yeah, Pinocchio, Tobacco Road.
Yeah, I like Peter Pan. I
mean,
I like Pinocchio.
Pinocchio!
What else did we do?
Well, see, isn't it weird that you don't that all the fireworks are way far away, whereas here you go into Fantasyland and it's like being in a war zone.
We only got to see him once because of
the
high
winds. They canceled him.
We did
get
to see him once. The castle. What'd you think? The shimmering and the nice coat of snow on it during the day.
I didn't care for the snow on it, to be frank. But I did like
Frank.
But I did like
Turducken.
I did like the what?
Frank, that guy on
Frank
TV the whole time.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
John Madden and Jack Nicholas.
Yeah. I'm up to speed.
Nicholson,
now.
Not Nicholas. I think probably there's Nicholas too.
Frank Caliendo. I liked the twinkle lights though, but I realized that Disney World has a distinct advantage because their castle is much bigger, so therefore their lights don't have to cover as much. More of the castle can be exposed, so it looks like a brushing of light, whereas there, if they were to do kind of the same ratio of lights to stonework, you know, you'd have like two lights. So it's just different. But I thought it was really beautiful, and I thought the lighting ceremony with the snow on Main Street that they do there is lovely, like a wishing little boy and it, which also tied in nicely with Believe in Holiday Magic. It kind of had that same flavor. But I didn't care for the snow.
Vanilla.
I was going to say lemon.
I wish I never had to leave this magical place. Anything else you want to say about Disneyland, hon?
It was fun to see a lot of familiar faces.
I think every single Main Street vehicle driver is the same as when we left.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the same thing myself when I was there.
Yeah, that was nice. And then when we went to Napa Rose, we saw the familiar faces there that we've known since. I mean, it was neat because Doobie and I were there celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary. And a lot of the servers at Napa Rose actually knew us back when we were dating. So, you know, we've known them 11 years now.
Some I've known even before I knew you.
Exactly. And that was neat. And what?
That just sounds funny saying it.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
And over at Storyteller Cafe, you know, some of the servers we knew there, it was fun to catch up with them. One of them's been married for a few months now, so,
you know. What's his name still at? Burham?
No, he left a while back.
Yeah, we didn't see Burham.
I forget, but I heard he left a while back. But Daniel, the server Daniel, you remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got married.
Yay.
So that was cool. To the woman that we met when he was here. It was funny. We bumped into him at the Pirate and Princess party. He married that girl.
Oh, well.
So that was cool.
It's nice they met a nice girl at the Pirate and Princess party. I mean, there weren't that many to choose from.
And then,
I don't think that's where he met her.
No.
Oh.
He brought her with him. And then,
I'm glad he met a nice girl at the Christmas party.
And then when we went over to, Paradise Pier Hotel, one of the cedar greeters at PCH Grill recognized her from, you know, having been there. Oh, and then when we were at, Carnation Cafe, we saw Tracy, and we remembered the day that Tracy hired into the company, and she was working behind the counter over at
Carefree Corner.
Carefree Corner? I don't think so.
You know what they call it?
Not there.
That's here.
Wrong corner. Carefree Corner is where Kodak is over there now.
Yeah.
Okay. Coke Corner.
Yeah, and the Corner Cafe.
Yeah, right.
And
does anybody call that?
We did. And so it's cool because she's now, you know, serving over at over at Carnation Cafe, and got to talk to her about, you know, what she's been doing with the company and all that. It's just, I don't know, it's fun.
It's nice to go home.
Yeah, it was.
Because there's no place like home.
And I think Doobie and I both realized that we need to go there more often.
And we are gonna.
And that we underestimated the value of Disneyland. I think we were there so long, and it was so close and so familiar. And so you kind of forget just how amazing it is until you're gone for a while. Because seriously, being back, I was like, this place is so much better than I remember.
I would agree. Exactly what you said.
I should rank it higher among the Disney theme parks than I have.
It may need to go above DCA.
Ooh.
I take it back.
I was going to say, that'd be a big move for you.
I take it back.
But I will admit, I did miss the wide walkways that is the Magic Kingdom. Because
really? He must have gone through Adventureland.
Oh, yeah. And you know they do the neatest thing there? I mean, it lets you know just how busy it is. Area between the bazaar and the Jungle Cruise, they take the strollers that are parked there now, and they line them up between two garbage cans down the center there, and they have all the traffic that is leaving Adventureland towards Main Street leave via the area in front, directly in front of the Jungle Cruise, and all the traffic that is traveling from Main Street towards New Orleans Square travels closer to the bazaar area, and they actually use strollers as a center median, so you can't blend. It's like one-way traffic on either side, and it's brilliant because it keeps the traffic flow, and it keeps the stroller. It has use for strollers that usually just end up taking up space.
Well, just be glad that there's a lot of toddlers in the park, or else that would be out the window.
And as people get off Jungle Cruise, they destroy the center median because they go grab their stroller. It's kind of funny.
But they didn't. There were enough.
Yeah, but it's still, then they replace it with another one.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's an ebb and flow of strollers.
And speaking of strollers, I'd like to thank our friends at Howard Johnson's Anaheim.
Oh, yeah.
Cha-ching.
No, seriously, we did stay there for this day. And
that was great.
They are an official sponsor of Laughing Place, so, this is not exactly a paid advertisement, but we do have a vested interest in their success. We stayed there. They're awesome, and we highly recommend them.
It was a nice little walk when we walked back and forth. It was great. Very convenient to travel back and forth between the hotel and the theme parks. Like, Doobie went back to get my jacket because I got cold, and I think he was glad that it wasn't a long walk.
Absolutely.
Did they serve Fiber One bars there?
No, but we had a little refrigerator, so we were...
So you could have stored them and had them nicely frozen.
So we went to the store, and we had a few little items. It was nice, because after a long day in the park, we were able to come back to the hotel and have a nice little snack, waiting for us in the room. We had bottles of water that were chilled. We had some bananas, cherries.
I would also like to thank another sponsor of the Laughing Place podcast, the Mosley family, for feeding us on Christmas night.
Oh, yeah, they did a good job.
Because without the Mosley family, specifically Sonya Mosley, there would be no Doobie.
That's true.
I miss Sonya Mosley.
And the other nice thing about the trip was we encountered a lot of friends that we left behind in California who said they listened to the podcast because it makes them feel like they're spending time with us again. And that was neat because it really is what the podcast is supposed to be. Just some you guys hanging out with
and
us guys.
And a tax deduction.
And the two random other people.
Yeah, and the single biggest expense of LaughingPlace.com.
But that's all it's about is just hanging out. A bunch of Disney fans, friends, hanging out, chatting about what kind of Disney stuff they've been up to. And I'm glad that carried over enough that our friends out in California kind of keep tabs on us by listening.
So if you know us, like in person, and you used to hang out with us, and now you listen to the podcast, hi.
How's it going? I if any of you know me, it's nice to see you again.
Oh.
Have a magical day.
I know what we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
Enchanted.
Experience.
Yeah.
At the El Capitan Theater.
Oh, and if you're a Disney fan and you're out in California when they're having one of these experiences at the El Capitan Theater, be sure and catch it because it's really nifty. I mean, honestly, tickets were $20 for general admission, $30 for a reserve seat. And first of all, you have a beautiful organ inside this gorgeous theater. And we saw the movie Enchanted. And then after the film, you leave the theater and they have this large tent set out in the back, where they have all kinds of interactive, just all kinds of activities and fun stuff surrounding the film. And, I mean, they don't do it for every single film, so be sure, and check. But, like, with this film, they had costumes available from the film. They had four different locations where you could take your family picture and kind of be put into the movie. They had five or six princesses there that you could get your photographs taken with, including Princess Giselle, who isn't posing for photographs really anywhere else. I know she does pre-parade at Disneyland and pre-parade at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but she isn't available, yet, just kind of wandering around the park that I've seen. So, that was a unique experience. And they had, a game area for the boys so they wouldn't be bored. They had adventure games and whatnot.
I wasn't bored with the princess area.
Well, but you're weird.
You're not a boy.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, fanboy.
My man.
But they had Guitar Hero you could play over there. And there was this game where they had a rotating wheel of doom with the witch and you threw apples at it.
And I'm sad I missed out on this.
I hear they're going to replace that with a statue of Walter Mickey.
And then when they...
But actually, they're not going to replace it. They're just going to put it on top.
Yeah.
And then when the apple would land inside the little basket that the witch is holding, she'd cackle something. I don't remember what. But it was just,
Take the apple! Is it actually just the one from the villain shop that's been cycling around Disneyland for the last 40 years?
I've got some breaking news, by the way. Next door to the El Capitan... Apparently, they've opened up this studio store soda fountain thing.
Oh, yeah. We finally did that,
Knew?
Huh?
For shame.
No, we knew it was there. We just hadn't made it up there. How long ago did it open, fanboy, and we're losers for not getting there for so long?
Oh, I would say about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. It's awesome. The ice cream is specially brought in from Bakersfield, from this place called Dwarves.
A whole can? Oh, wait.
Stop. And
Dwarves.
And it's really, really tasty and creamy and wonderful. And apparently that ice cream is a favorite of Dick Cook's, which is why it's there. And the music there, some people will tell you that the music there is like Dick Cook's favorite songs or in that, you know, for that kind of place, he would pick that kind of music to play there. And you know, it's just, I don't know, it was a neat place to be, especially that feeling that kind of, it had Dick Cook's personal touch. So you felt like you kind of got to know him a little bit by being at the place.
And it was yummy.
Oh, it was very good. Doobie got this really pink Enchanted Sundae. I know that's shocking really to all pink. Of you that Doobie bought something that was incredibly
Three
pink.
Three scoops of strawberry ice cream, if I recall.
Yeah, and a whole can of
and
cream.
Marshmallow
Not
fluff.
Quite. And it was messy, but apparently that's the way they like it to be made. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to complain.
Mm-hmm. My only disappointment was I ordered Mickey sprinkles and I didn't get them.
Aww.
I got normal sprinkles, not Mickey sprinkles.
But Casey was our server. He was great.
He was. He was a delight. Oh, and I had a cherry phosphate, which was very yummy.
It's all good. I had a grilled cheese, which I enjoyed.
I can't. Oh, I had a pastrami sandwich.
Oh, now I want to go back.
So it's a nice little place.
Let's go outside and have some ice cream in this 32-degree weather.
I'm really glad Disney's done that.
So. It was awesome. I was made me sad that we don't live closer to go more often.
We'll be back soon.
I know. I'm excited.
What did you do for New Year's Eve, Captain?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing repeatable.
Did you watch?
Oh, hello.
Oh, please.
Captain
went to
John, all grown up.
You watched Dick Cook? I mean, not Dick Cook, Dick Clark.
Well, you can't repeat Dick Clark either.
Do you watch You Pick on Disney Channel featuring user-generated content of the... Did you watch people jump over bridges on
ESPN? I wanted to watch that, but I was at DCA.
No, I celebrated in good, you know, pirate fashion. I did piratey things.
What did you do, fanboy?
I went to the Magic Kingdom.
Was it busy?
The place where dreams come true.
Was it popular?
It was very popular.
How was it on Main Street?
It was very busy. But
I heard the Orlando Sentinel said it actually did pretty well.
You know, the cast did an amazing job, and credit to them. Kudos to them.
Yay, Magic.
They did have something I've never seen before.
What would that be?
Ooh.
And it's actually new, as opposed to something that you've never seen before that's 2 years old. When they did the countdown, they do the normal Fantasy in the Sky, which is not new in any stretch of the imagination. Same. The second star to the right. And Tinkerbell Flies and the, you know, Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean segment. But then they go into Mickey, Goofy, and the gang, start like talking about the countdown clock. And as they count down from 10, they have fireworks perimeter-wide that count down. And they look like 9s and 8s and 7s.
I've never seen fireworks are numbers.
Yes. Isn't that weird?
Isn't that amazing? I know. I want to see video of this.
I am found of dumb.
Because we were in California, yes, so we don't have any of our own video. So we had to find video.
There's some out there.
How were the fireworks in California?
They were non-existent windy. Because of wind. But, no, they were able to do low levels over at DCA.
They actually had the big traffic signs they put out in the Esplanade to let people know the parks are closed. Yeah. They had it saying fireworks are canceled.
We figured that may have something to do with the fact that it didn't seem nearly as crowded in either park as we've seen it in the past.
Right. All right, guys. This is our first podcast of 2008. You know what that means.
We have to make fools of ourselves by pretending we actually know what's going to happen this year.
Now, last year, between the four of us, we made 12 predictions, two of which came through. That's 1 out of 6. That's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were Captain John, so...
Would we keep our jobs in the major leagues?
That's well below the Mendoza line. Yeah. You know what the problem was though last
year? If we were pitchers, we'd be fine.
Okay.
Last year, when I tried to look into my crystal ball, I wasn't used to her moving all around.
Oh, yeah, that can be very
and
confusing.
So it was very difficult for me to look into the future.
Mm.
But this year, I got a step stool, and I should be able to do it.
Well, in that case, we'll have you start before we begin. We will let the people know that we each make 3 predictions, one in the world of theme parks, one in the world of movies, and one in the world of anything but theme parks or movies. And why don't you go first, fanboy? What is your theme park prediction? Oh, one more thing. It's easy to predict that Disney will have another great year or the Year of a Million Dreams will be extended yet another time. These are the simple predictions. We make bold predictions. You're first.
Epcot will announce an addition to the World Showcase. Now, it might not be a new country. It might be a new attraction into an existing country. I'm not talking like a new exhibit, but something substantive will be added to the World Showcase.
Like Mount Fuji to Japan.
Right, or it could be a new pavilion, but they will announce it. Obviously, it won't open in time, but they will announce it.
That's big.
Oh, interesting.
Nice. You got the inside track, or this is just fanboy going out on a limb?
This is...
educated guess?
Yeah, I'd say fair enough.
Okay. Captain, your theme park prediction.
Pirates of the Caribbean holiday overlay.
Ooh.
I have a question.
Which holiday? Wrong.
Which holiday?
Oh, good point.
Halloween.
Interesting. Now for me.
Rebecca?
Mine is that a Toy Story Zoetrope will come to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Is that bold?
I guess it's bold if it's wrong.
Well, considering there's only one and it's going to Hong Kong, they'd have to get a whole nother one.
That would be good.
So I thought that would be bold
enough.
That's
a great prediction.
Thank
good.
You.
That's good.
And it's more of a wish. So that's what I try to do. My predictions are what I hope happens. So maybe if I think hard enough and wish long enough.
You too will see Tinkerbell light up fantasy in the sky. My prediction?
Oh, apparently she likes noodles. Never mind.
Toy Story Mania will open at Disney's California Adventure.
Yes.
And as the first attraction to open after the big announcement, even though it's not designed after the big announcement, it will be a huge success and have raves on the internet. There we go.
Ta-da!
Next up is our studio prediction. I'll go first this time because I'm the host and I can choose. High School Musical 3. A flop.
Now, here's the thing.
That's theatrical.
High School Musical 3, is it even going to be made in time? Is it even going to be made this year?
Well, then let me adjust my prediction this way. High School Musical 3 will make less than $75 million. If it doesn't open, I'm right.
Fair enough.
Captain?
Prince Caspian will be hated by the critics.
Not the best reviewed movie of 2008?
No.
What did he do to everybody?
I'm just saying.
Rebecca?
They will announce National Treasure 3.
A dream is a wish.
Hey.
I would love it. It'd make great. It's just as long as they don't go like into the Wild West.
It may not even feature Nicolas Cage.
I don't care.
It'll be a spinoff with Riley.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Ooh, you know what would be even better? Like a Riley series.
Oh, that'd be fun. Like
on
Indiana
Fox News?
Jones.
Like
Joan
on
Chronicle.
USA. Sounds like something that'd be on USA.
Character. Okay. Yeah.
He's a character.
Or Fox News.
Fox News.
Oh. Riley.
But did you see on the thing? He was spinning.
What's your prediction, FB?
I predict Disney Pixar will announce an animated sequel. Toy Story 3 has already been announced, so that doesn't count. But they will announce an animated sequel.
So like Cars or Ratatouille?
Cars 2, Ratatouille 2, okay. Monsters Inc. 2,
Electric Bolt Boogaloo.
2. Yeah, all would be subtitled Electric Boogaloo.
All right, Captain, you'll go first with the other category.
The other category is that I think another Broadway show will be announced.
Oh, that's very bold.
Is that bold?
That yeah. seems very bold to me.
Okay.
Because they've already have how many they do right now.
And they weren't exactly all, you know, they had On the Record, which wasn't exactly, you know, rave reviews, and Tarzan didn't exactly rock the house. And
ironic.
You know, so I mean.
It did over at Animal Kingdom. Okay, your prediction?
My prediction? Is that a theater similar to the El Capitan will be announced here, where they can promote upcoming Disney direct to DVD releases and have an ice cream shop where Bakersfield ice cream can be sold.
And well, they will have a whole can.
It's gonna cost a lot more to get it.
I know. I'm just kidding about the Bakersfield ice cream.
Or for here, they can be sponsored by Hanes.
But yeah, I think that there'll be a theater announced on that West Side project that will.
Oh,
be,
there.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna put it.
Cool. That's an excellent prediction. I hope that's right.
I hope so, too.
I'm going to go with, if first you don't succeed, try again. Dick Cook, named president of the Walt Disney Company.
Bringing back an old favorite.
Yes. You took mine.
You said that last year, huh?
Ooh, yes, I did.
Yeah. You said that last year.
Glad I went first.
Are we, like, Dick Cook obsessed? Mine has to do with Dick Cook. Yours has to do with Dick Cook.
We've talked a lot about Dick Cook today.
Yes, we have.
Disney will make a middle to large acquisition, and I define that as over $100 million.
Any guess as to what type of acquisition?
Content.
Okay, interesting.
Just to help us in comparison, how big was the Club Penguin?
$75 million.
So that would not be big enough.
No, larger than Club Penguin.
So like a
cat. And maybe defining it by money's terms is not the best, but larger than Club Penguin Acquisition.
Okay.
More like Cap Cities, ABC.
Well, maybe not that large.
ABC Family.
I hear AOL's up for sale.
Are they?
Well, did you hear about Time Warner? They're getting a new head, and so there's a lot of pressure on him to divide up the company, which would make Disney the largest entertainment company. Although the Weather Channel's up for sale. I don't think Disney's going to buy that.
No, but that doesn't sound like their kind of content.
Disney really should not be controlling the weather.
Do you know the Weather Channel is privately owned?
I'd forgotten that if I knew it. Interesting.
Not sure what that
means. No, I rarely turn on the Weather Channel and actually find weather reports.
Don't get me started.
Do you get storm stories? Reader Marshall was kind enough to send in a few predictions of his own.
Marshall.
I'll just go down the line quickly here. Anyone has any comment? Toy Story Mania will not be a disappointment. I agree. Animal Kingdom.
Agreed.
Animal Kingdom will receive a new thrill attraction.
Not built.
The Mexico Pavilion will sell more merchandise with the Grand Fiesta Tour.
That's a good one.
Disney Cruise Lines with a Toy Story taking place of Hercules will be a bomb.
Hope not.
So Toy Story will bomb.
Could you imagine if that was a bomb in the middle of the ocean?
Oh, so, stop.
And Mary Poppins will take the place of Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios. I like that one a lot.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I like it, but I have a feeling it won't happen.
That would be nice.
That's a great idea.
I like that idea. And the Animal Kingdom thrill ride thing, that'd be fun. But right now, I think the big thing is going to be the anniversary and the conservation message, I think, is going to be.
You can't have conservation without a thrill ride, really.
Uh-huh, sure.
Captain.
Can you imagine, like, our scary world? It would be very hot. The global warming ride.
All right. Last episode, I asked all the listeners out there, what's the name of Captain Cao Fang's ship from Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End?
The Empress of the Leak.
Aluminum foil.
Well, it turns out that this week's winner is Pirate Princess.
Hooray for Pirate Princess.
Shocking.
Well, it's been a while, though.
It's a pirate question.
Three cheers for Pirate Princess. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray.
Or that.
All right, so anyway, I'll keep on the pirate trend because, you know, there hasn't been... the pirates haven't been representing, as it were, lately.
Yo.
Yo.
Just in the hood of Tortuga.
That's the way they roll.
All right, so... Who plays Mr. Gibbs? You know, Captain Jack Sparrow's first mate, Mr. Gibbs.
Timon. No, Pumbaa. Pumbaa.
Speaking of Timon.
They call me Mr. Gibbs.
We saw him.
No.
The guy who says that line. Well, okay, not in The Lion King, the original line.
Oh, right.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, crossing Rodeo Drive.
We arrive in Beverly Hills.
And former Disney board member.
Arrive in Beverly Hills, we see the sign that says Rodeo Drive, and then crossing the street right in front of us is Sydney Poitier.
It was fun, because we were there with friends who were visiting from Canada, and I said, and this is Rodeo Drive, where sometimes you can see celebrities crossing the street, and then Sydney Poitier crossed the street. It was awesome.
Did you ask him over for dinner?
No.
He did see Rebecca and I give us the thumbs up.
Stop.
No, but speaking of Timon, I was watching the Aladdin special features disc, and I saw the most random thing I've ever seen. There's like this activity on
Man
it.
Man in a tutu?
The virtual magic carpet ride or something, and for some reason they throw in Timon in there. It's like, he's not an Aladdin. And then later, you pick this place, like you get to fly over the Himalayas or something, and then you see like Stitch's spaceship fly around, and it has no, they don't explain why he's involved with this. It's like the most odd character placement I've ever seen.
I think you are
the person that looks at those odd features on the DVD.
Yeah, because it's endlessly amusing what sort of weird stuff you'll find. No, seriously, you start it up, and it's like, you know, you see Timon, it's like, why am I here? And then it's like, I was just minding my own business eating bugs, and I just appeared at Agrabah.
Nathan Lane was fulfilling his contract.
I just thought I'd mention it because it was so strange.
So it's my turn. Time for the first of the year popcorn or churros.
Hit it.
It's my favorite part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show. Popcorn or churro.
Yay, it's time for the first.
The remix.
That was the remix. Oh, yeah. You know, back in the day, I was a human beatbox.
I saw you in Group 66.
Let me put my hat on.
That's just not right. Okay. So it's time for the first Pop Corner Churros of 2008, a year that's sure to be great. And first up, we have...
Whoa. Did you script that?
No.
Nick, she can't.
Yep. Sorry.
She's just a regular Dr. Seuss over there.
I refuse to cross the line. Okay. Marshall asks us, It's a Small World holiday or Haunted Mansion holiday?
Wait. This has been asked before.
I know.
But Marshall asked.
Yeah, well, but Marshall asked. We're going
And
so I will probably answer differently because you just went on him.
Okay.
Touché.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Small World holiday because it takes a horrible ride and makes it palatable.
Ouch.
Wow.
I'm going to go if it's a Small World holiday because it just... Haunted Mansion holiday, it takes Haunted Mansion, which is a good ride, and just sort of pluses it. It's amazing, but it's a Small World holiday. Really, it's just awesome in its own right.
Haunted Mansion holiday.
Shocking.
For me, it's Small World holiday. And by the way, riding Small World, I've decided that it is fiberglass and not large behinds that have led to the upcoming changes.
Baby got back.
That's what I've decided.
Did I answer Small World or Haunted Mansion, by the way?
You answered Small World.
Okay, just want to make sure.
And then the next question is Mary Poppins on Broadway or Little Mermaid on Broadway? Now, I realize none of us have seen... Oh, no, Fanboy, you've seen Mary Poppins. You haven't seen Mermaid, have you?
Mary Poppins.
No, I haven't seen Mermaid.
Okay, so we haven't seen them, but based on what you know...
Mary Poppins.
Based on what you've seen...
Little Mermaid.
Mary Poppins or Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid.
Mary Poppins. Even though it's creepy, it's Little Mermaid just looks bad.
Mary Poppins, because it's just fun to say.
So for me, if I had one day, if I had one day in New York, and you were, that's how I'm doing this.
Go on a Wednesday, so you can see a matinee of one. And
if I had one day in New York, I would pick Mary Poppins over Little Mermaid, just because I like the music in Mary Poppins more than I do Little Mermaid. So
step in time.
I got one.
Okay.
Overall, how good a year the company had, 2007 or 2008, a better year?
2008. Which, if you're going to go by that, you really should start in October.
But I'm not.
2000. Ooh, that's tough though, because I think in most ways the company will be better. But we just had some really kick butt films in 2007, with Enchanted and National Treasure
and
Game Plan.
Thank you.
I just don't see College Road Trip. I mean, I could be surprised, but
Pirates.
Yeah. Well.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, never. You're right, Captain John. 2008.
Captain.
You guys are harsh.
07.
Because of Pirates?
No, just because of the whole combination of everything.
Interesting.
Rebecca?
I think 08's going to be a great year for the company.
Because it rhymes with 8.
No, I just think that.
It's going to be great.
I feel very good about 08. I just do.
I think 08's going to be a great year, but 07, with all the little things they made, with like the Haunted Mansion and the Canada, Grand Fiesta...
Oh, I forgot about High School Musical on Ice, though, so I'm going to have to rethink this.
The Nemo subs. It was a big year, 2007. All the movies, even with Pirates.
But they're extending the year of a million dreams.
I'm going to have to go with 2007. I think this is going to be a hard year to top.
You got
to
take the good with the bad.
Take them both.
And
then
you
have.
All right. Anyone else got a PRC they want to share today?
Nope.
Moving right along.
Moving right along.
It's such a good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose. This could become a habit.
Objection. What are you guys singing?
This could become a habit.
It's from the Muppet movie.
Become a hobbit. It's not Disney.
Wow, that's quite a phenomenon.
And once
Have you
again,
ever seen the Muppet movie?
And once again, Fanboy couldn't even get out two lines without
a
mistake.
Moving right along. Footloose and fancy free.
Pirate Princess did post the lyrics to The Wonderful Thing About Tiggers on the site for you. So read them and learn.
I only got one word wrong.
Which one was that? Oh, the bottoms are made out of strings.
And I said...
You said
strings. And
it should be spring.
Which is sort of obvious, and my bad for being stupid.
Can't help it. Let's see. Disney myth? Fanboy, you got one?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Wow. You've got the best intro.
I don't think he's fond of it.
Jazz hands.
If you had jazz hands, anything's good. Just ask the cast of Goofy's Beach Party Bash. Yep. Well, I was browsing the boards, which I don't do, so Doobie was nice enough to print this off to simulate me browsing the boards. And it's from Sci-Fi 96.
To simulate you browsing the boards?
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
In his Disney Myths segment, but doesn't not, I guess, the ellipse there. Does anyone know why ABC execs or other high-profile employees from the other areas of the Disney Company universe are honored as Disney legends? I was surprised to see how many non-old Walt Disney Productions Company people have been honored as Disney legends and or came under the Disney Company umbrella after their careers were established or even over.
Umbrella, Ella, Ella.
A. Someone's been listening to Radio Disney.
Actually, Aladdin, the musical.
Oh.
The genie.
Gotcha. Doesn't ABC have some sort of little title of status that would recognize a person of great stature in the company, or does Disney like to think that they are, in part, somewhat responsible for that person's achievements? Or do they just like the spread of confusion regarding their company? Anyway, I want to clarify something about the Disney Legend Awards. They are the Walt Disney Company Disney Legend Awards, and unlike Windows on Main Street or other Disney honors, they are for everyone that works from the Disney Company, regardless of if they work for ABC, ESPN, or Disney brand itself, or even the Go Network.
How many Go Network legends are there?
You gotta give them time to kind of build up their prestige. And many of them did not start their careers at Disney, but it's not to honor them for being Disney, for creating their Disney, their fame from Disney. They're there to honor them for their legacy on Disney. So someone like Elton John might be considered a Disney legend because they significantly contributed to the Walt Disney Company. We could debate whether one movie justifies that, but fair enough, right? However, I want to segue into my Disney Myth of the Week. The Disney Legends Awards were not created out of some need for the Walt Disney Company to create a prestigious award to honor its legends.
Why were they created, fanboy?
To promote a presentation of the absent-minded professor on the Disney Channel. Has anyone wondered why the first Disney legend is not Roy Disney, is not any of the nine old men, or even someone that starred in a classic Disney film from the 30s or 40s, Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke? It's Fred McMurray.
I've often wondered why. Tell us, fanboy.
Because they wanted to promote their upcoming presentation of The Absent-Minded Professor, featuring, you know, Flubber, and which I actually think is up for this year. Flubber might be a Disney legend. And they named...
color, though? Green, purple?
Blue, blue, blue.
Blue, blue, blue.
They did it to promote... They had a ceremony so he could put his handprints in front of the screening room at the studios and show it and advertise that the Absent-Minded Professor was going to have a special presentation on the Disney Channel. Then they decided, well, if he's going to be a Disney legend, other people should be, and then it became a much more bureaucratic process as opposed to some Disney Channel marketing executive deciding to honor Fred McMurray. Because his, you know, none of his sons work for the Walt Disney Company. If you want to get people in trouble for not being famous for the Disney.
And now you know
the rest of the story. Good day. Moving on to page 3. We got some reader mail.
Let's talk about vacuums. Schnebs, by the way, actually posted...
He sent us all that time about his duck's bed.
Schnebs posted a great response to the question, which I recommend people read. But he made a good point. Companies like Boeing will, in their company history, they'll mention the planes of the acquisitions that they made long before, the planes that were created long before they made those acquisitions, like old McDonnell Douglas planes and such. So this isn't anything different.
McDonnell Douglas planes.
That when you acquire a company, that becomes your heritage too.
Yeah, and especially I think Disney has the advantage of, especially on ABC, ESPN being a sort of own culture. Disney's is very much intertwined with ABC. You go from Disney starting its television arm on ABC to Michael Eisner starting his career at ABC. A lot of the I know when they honored Leonard Goldstein, he was honored really as a way and was the first ABC person to be honored as a way of Michael Eisner honoring his past. Bob Iger grew up in ABC, not Disney. And I think that was many people's concerns. Obviously, he's shut us up. But that's very intertwined. And I think even Pixar, so many of those folks started off with Disney or were inspired by Disney. That I think Disney, when they acquire, they're very careful as to what cultures they acquire. Because Disney could have bought CBS, but they chose ABC.
And they got Bob Iger.
Right now, Les Moonves could be head of the Walt Disney Company. Wouldn't that be Friday?
Well, I'd like to thank y'all for listening to the January 4th, 2008 Laughing Place podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you at podcast.laughingplace.com, 866-789-4408, or make a post on the laughingplace.com discussion board before we close today.
I don't think you said that fast enough.
I'd like to get a word of
wisdom. Oh, I want a micro machine.
Or so, or two. A what?
Micro, is that
that's the fastest, you know, announcer guy for the micro machine commercials.
After your time.
No.
Really?
Anything like Mr. Microphone? Hey, good looking.
No,
I'll be back.
No, he was that bald guy who talked really fast.
I know him as a FedEx commercial guy.
Okay, well, he did
before that, he did Micro Machine.
Okay.
And before that, he was on Electric Company.
Not to be confused with Electric Boogaloo.
Captain, you got anything to say
goodbye
to?
Here he does
with,
wear Hanes.
For, at,
anything
preposition?
Anything to say goodbye to? What do you mean by that?
You have any final words of wisdom or otherwise?
Don't listen to the people. I don't know. I don't think I really have much to say. You know,
it's not time for a haircut, don't you think?
No, it's...
We got to take him to California next time and get him on Lincoln. Oh, it's closed. We have to take you on Sounds Dangerous.
You must cut.
That didn't sound right there.
No.
You must cut.
I'll cut you.
Fanboy, how about you?
I just want to say, as I look back at the first quarter of last year, of this year, thank you to all the folks that have made it so magical. I know that the writer strike probably put a burden on everyone at Disney. Maybe not so much the theme parks, but otherwise. But it was a wonderful time. We put out two good movies. The theme parks were magical, more magical than ever. From the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. And I salute my Hanes to you.
You know, I have something to say to the listeners, and that if you put up with us this long, I commend you.
I agree.
You know, next time in town, the rum's on me.
Oh, take him up on that.
I'll give you underwear, because that's the theme of the day.
For you. Rebecca?
Underwear's funderwear.
Please, Rebecca.
Isn't it?
Look under there.
Do you still match like Batman when you dress in the morning?
No, because I'd be Warner Brothers.
Touchy.
I'm looking forward to going back to Disneyland again. It was fun, but even with the crowds and everything, but I'm looking forward to going back when it's quiet and seeing more things.
I'll be quiet.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking forward to our upcoming cruise. So that'll be fun. So 2008 is starting off really awesome already. Got to kick off the new year at DCA with their countdown, despite the bad weather, preparing for a cruise Eastern Caribbean, which we haven't done yet, so we'll be able to bring you guys stories of the craziness that ensues when we take that trip. So yeah, so it's going to be a fun year, and all kinds of movies around the corner and DVD releases.
Hannah Montana and Jonas Brothers in 3D.
Yeah, we got that coming up. We got 101 Dalmatians coming out on DVD. We got there's another classic Disney film coming out. It's 101 Dalmatians, and something else is coming out too, but I can't remember what it is now. Oh, phooey.
Meet the Robins. No, that already came out.
No, it dropped. I don't know. It dropped off my head.
Chicken Little.
They're all checking the floor for what dropped off my head. And then we're supposed to be getting Beach. No, not Beach. Block Party Bash here.
In 5, 4.
So that'll
three,
be awesome.
Two.
So yeah, so lots of fun. Fun things, and there's always rumors abounding about the various changes in different theme parks. It'll be fun to see which ones come to be and which ones are totally wrong.
It will.
Bound.
So, yeah. And then we get to look back in December and see what was right and what was wrong.
We're going 12 for 12 this year.
I want to see like what you. I want you to pick the winner of of our predictions.
Who
is going to be Fantasy Laughing Place podcast.
Oh, there you go.
I want people to pick. Who they think is gonna win the predictions test?
Vote for me, do UB.
I mean, you have a whole year to do this, so I mean.
So there's two Disney theme parks. No, wait, never mind.
So your turn, Mr. Dewey.
I would just like to say we had a wonderful trip to California, and as much fun as Disneyland was, and it was a lot of fun, and as much fun as visiting my family was, and that was a lot of fun. I do have to say my personal highlight was December 28th, where we left all the Disney and family behind. Went to the Queen Mary, where Rebecca and I got married and celebrated our 10th anniversary. had a marvelous night, one of the highlights of which was the 9 p.m. phone call from Fanboy, who had forgotten it was her anniversary and decided to just clue us into how his day went. Nice to hear from you, FB. But we did have a great evening, and it was
wonderful
great.
Room service.
Wonderful room service.
Too bad we sold it.
Had some nice visitors the next day, got to tour the place, see where we got married. It happened to be unlocked that night. We walked in there and took a look, got our picture in front. It was all as good as we possibly could have imagined.
It was wonderful.
Wonderful anniversary. Thank you for being married to me for 10 years. Thank you for entering the next decade. I love you very much, Rebecca.
I love you too.
And I'll talk to everyone else next week.
Next week.